Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. We're up to verse 46. Matthew chapter 12, starting at verse 46. Tonight we consider the true family of Jesus. Verse 46. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother? And who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. The precious word of the living and the true God. The words of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is in this situation in a couple of the other Gospels. In the Gospel of Mark, his family thinks that he has lost his mind. Because he's serving so much, he's not even eating. But that's not what Matthew focuses on here. No, what Matthew focuses on here, what the Gospel of Matthew gives us, is a direct demonstration of what it means to be the family of Jesus Christ. His own biological family, in terms of the earthly sphere, his brothers and his mother are outside. They're outside in the sense that they are not in the place where Jesus is, but they're going to be shown to be in contrast to the family of Jesus Christ as a teaching tool. It's very important that we don't take this to mean that the family members of Jesus Christ never trusted in him. We know that Mary trusted in him. We know that his brothers eventually did trust in him. But we know in John 7 that they did not yet believe in him. So there was a time when his family did not reach the point of putting their faith in Jesus Christ. The amazing thing is that Jesus is here in this place, and his family isn't. His biological family, the family of people that are related to him on the earthly sphere. Now, we know that Joseph was not his biological father. But Joseph doesn't appear here. It's likely that he was already dead. His mother is there, and his brothers. And Jesus is interrupted. And when Jesus is interrupted, we learn something. We need to think about the way that we deal with interruptions when we're trying to do something that is important, perhaps even something for God. How do we respond to interruptions? Jesus, with wisdom that stretches down deep, as a deep well of wisdom that is going to flow into the lives of people, has immediate wisdom to deal with this situation. His family wants to speak with him, and Jesus Christ redefines who his family is. It's a teaching moment. Jesus Christ says amazing words. Who is my mother? And who are my brethren? Who is my mother? And who are my brethren? If you heard that question, how would you answer it? Your mother? She's the one that's outside desiring to speak with you. Your brothers, Jesus, those are the ones that are outside desiring to speak with you. Those are your brothers. And in the ancient Near East, family was extremely important. In fact, for the Greeks, you didn't really try to help people outside your family. You just helped your family. We know how the Jews thought about people outside of the covenant people of God from the book of Jonah. But Jesus says this amazing thing. Where is he going with this? Who is my mother and who are my brethren? And then Jesus does something that shows what he means. He stretches out his hand toward his disciples. I want you to understand something very important. This is not just the 12. Because by the time Jesus gets down to verse 50, he's going to say, sister. And he's already asking the question, who is my mother? Jesus Christ directs the attention of the people listening to him to the disciples that are right in front of him. And he brings these comforting words. You are my family. Behold my mother and my brethren. Now we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to honor his mother at the cross. In John 19, the passage that you're going to read next Lord's Day, Jesus Christ tells John to take care of his mother. Jesus has not forgotten who Mary is. He's not forgotten that he has biological siblings in the sense that they were children of Mary. No, Jesus Christ is saying something about the spiritual family of God. He's saying something about the people that are being raised up to be God's children. And he uses this language to make it clear that God's people really are part of the family of God. In Matthew 19, Peter says, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, he also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And then he says this, and everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. What Jesus is saying in these questions that sound like riddles is that God is bringing about a new family. He is bringing about a new family that is defined in terms of the relationship to Jesus Christ that he has outlined again and again and again in the Gospel of Matthew. He says, whoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. If the family of God did not include sisters, Jesus wouldn't have thrown it in there because they were asking him about his mother and his brothers who were outside. But Jesus specifically points to mother and sister. He specifically emphasizes that. It's important. Jesus Christ is talking about whoever does the will of God. And we remember what he said in chapter 7 when he said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." Jesus Christ talks about the difference between doing the will of God as a disciple, hearing his words, and building your house upon them, and someone who just claims to be in the family. And Jesus is willing to use his own family as an object lesson to express the newness of the spiritual family of God. That's a bold thing for Jesus Christ to do. It's a bold thing for Jesus Christ to do because, first of all, his family doesn't appear to have been on the same page with him at certain times in his earthly ministry. He's serving the Father. Early on, Jesus goes to the temple and he's asking the teachers of law questions. And his mother and father are desperately looking for him. In Mark chapter 3, the same account occurs, and his family shows up. They think that Jesus Christ needs to be rescued. They've scheduled an intervention for him because Jesus Christ is serving the Father. There are ways in which the Lord Jesus Christ, in serving God, in serving the Father, separates himself from his earthly family. And so we learn something. We learn something that Jesus Christ has addressed before when there's a conflict between the demands of your family and the demands of Jesus Christ, the demands of your Father in heaven. Your Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, come first. Jesus Christ has said in Matthew 10, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whomsoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." And then he said, "Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household." Do you think that Jesus is serious about those words? Well, here he is. His family shows up. They're outside waiting to speak with him. And Jesus Christ uses that moment to use his family as a teaching tool. They're outside. You're the ones who are inside. You are my disciples, you are my family. Because that's the goal, you see, of the work of Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus Christ came. The Gospel of John makes this extremely clear in the beginning, as it says, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Jesus Christ gives the right to be called a child of God. Unless you get focused on that sons of God language, where it says brothers in the scriptures, what about us? Jesus spells it out extremely clearly. He specifically makes it clear that the people that are in his family include his sister and mother. Now don't press the word that Jesus uses, mother. How am I the mother of Jesus? Huh? Mention me that. What's he talking about there? Jesus is talking about a relationship of disciples with him. Who shows up at the empty tomb when Jesus Christ is raised from the dead? Who spreads the word? Who washes Jesus' feet with her hair? What's happening here? What's happening here is that a new family of disciples is forming around Jesus Christ. And people that begin to understand who he is and what he came to do are now his family. And so these women show up at the tomb. This woman washes his feet with her hair. Jesus is welcomed into the home of people, women who have money, so that they can provide a meal. And Mary and Martha host. And one of them chooses to listen at the feet of Jesus while the other one is distracted with much serving. But they're both serving Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to establish a new family. Jesus Christ came to bring about a new relationship. When Jesus speaks of the last judgment in Matthew 25, he speaks of his brethren. He says in Matthew 25:40, "Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me." You know how in those old movies, which have a little bit of reality, there's those mafia types? Family. It's tight. Jesus Christ is saying this is the case in a spiritual realm. When you serve the least of my brethren, you've done it to me. Now we begin to understand. When Jesus Christ is talking about serving people that are in the family of God, he's talking about serving him. When the Apostle Paul is on the road to Damascus, when he's called Saul, and he's shown the risen Lord Jesus Christ, he says, "You're persecuting me." He's been persecuting the church, but Jesus says, "You're persecuting me." The relationship between Jesus Christ and his family is tighter than any mafia movie you can ever show. This is real life. In fact, this family member, your elder brother, loved you so much that he went to the cross and he called out in the words that we began with when we were singing Psalm 22, my God, oh, why hast thou in my distress forsaken me? And he cried that for you. Gospel of John states it this way: for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you're in a family where the father of that family is able to give you the gift of everlasting life, but that gift requires that he give his only begotten Son, you think it's going to happen? The wonder of being in the family of God through the work of Jesus Christ is unpacked here. When Jesus Christ talks about doing the will of his Father in heaven, he's talking about listening to the words that he has just been communicating in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 5-7, he's talking about responding to God's grace and giving his Son, receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. And even the earthly family of Jesus Christ must be redefined by receiving Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus Christ is using his family as an object lesson. Because he's not only redefining the spiritual family of God, he's redefining his own family. You're either for me or against me. Trust in me. Jesus Christ is the way to the Father. And so what we need to realize as we look at this passage, as we understand it, is that this is our identity. This is who we are at the deepest level. We are those who are defined in terms of our response to the will of God. First expressed by trusting in Jesus Christ. And Romans 8 puts it this way: for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You see, this identity is so important. The Bible accents two witnesses: your spirit and the Spirit of God. You are God's child. And when your spirit forgets, the Spirit of God reminds you. But being God's child means this: and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Why do I suffer? We need to add to that sentence. Why am I suffering with Christ? Why am I suffering with Christ? So that I might be glorified together with Christ. Because when you're part of this family, Jesus wins. And when Jesus wins, we all win. When Jesus declares that there's a new family, his mother and his brothers need to become part of his spiritual family. And so do you and I. But the beautiful thing is that the Word of God tells us that the Spirit is given to us to remind us of what it means to be God's children. Have you trusted in Jesus? I'm not asking if you were born into a family of people who trusted in Jesus. That's part of it. But have you been redefined into the family of God by trusting in Jesus Christ, believing in Him, God's only begotten Son, so that you might have everlasting life? When you suffer, are there times when you begin to say, why? I'm your child. And then the Holy Spirit reminds you of the suffering of Jesus Christ, which led to glory. See, that's the pathway. That's the pattern of the children of God. That's the pattern of our family, the true family of Jesus.